Podcast.
I got my breast caught in a champagne bottle. I don't have a major league scar.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean you got your breast caught in a champagne bottle? A champagne bottle is a little skinny thing.
You either have very small breasts or very large champagne bottles. What's it?
Well, no, I don't have small breasts.
Yeah, wait. Before
did you
wait.
A bet?
Don't tell me. Let me guess. It's that science experiment where you take the milk bottle and you throw the match in the bottom and then you put the egg in there and it gets sucked
sucks
in.
Sucks it right in. They didn't have an egg and they said, anybody got it? Yeah, come here, you.
No.
Get on this bottle.
No, it was the cheaper champagne bottle that had the plastic tops, you know?
The good stuff, okay.
And I was making a mimosa, and I went to squeeze the plastic top, and I didn't have a bra on because we were down at the lake. And
you know, I love the idea of women making mixed drinks without brassieres on.
I don't know how you ended up in the bottle.
I just like this story. I don't even care what happens.
It's like one of those.
I like the idea of braless women. Braless women preparing drinks. That's
went
what
out
it,
in a limb.
That's what does it for me.
Please caught JC's attention.
Okay, so anyhow, so you're standing there braless.
I had a shirt on.
All right. Well, that's fine.
You had a shirt on. You're making a mimosa. And what happens now?
I'm trying to push the plastic top back into the champagne bottle, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've got it on the side of me, and I'm like giving it all I got.
Yeah.
And I got it in there, but I got part of my breast along with it.
Oh!
I couldn't get it off.
Oh!
And I'm like screaming. I lift it up.
Hold on one more.
And 2 weeks later, it was still there.
I still don't see it.
I can't figure this out.
So now you're down.
Squeezed between the two, you know, it was
squeezed between the two. It was so it was going into the top of the bottle,
right,
along with the cork.
Yeah. Right.
Karen right now picks up her water bottle and is looking down. Karen is examining herself as we speak.
No, Karen, right over there. Right there.
So now
there you go.
So now
you're down at
the lake, and now you're letting out the battle cry. And who finally assisted you?
Well, my mother and her husband were there, and I looked down. I saw blood coming through my shirt.
Ruins a good drink.
Panic. So my mother's husband, who's not my father, but at this point I don't care.
Could have been the meter man. Anybody at this point.
And now you're down at the lake. So you put your swimsuit on, and people think you're getting hickeys from Dracula.
Yeah. It left. I mean, for a while, it was pretty.
The real interesting thought, though, anybody who drank out of that bottle after that was having breast-flavored champagne.
They were breastfeeding on a bottle of Korbel.
About
you, know, that could be a dream come true too. There's a
Happy New Year.
there's a marketing idea.
Man,
for
is that a combination? Is that a combination?
Breast high. Yeah. JC Corcoran for breast flavored champagne.
That's right.
Don't let the smooth taste fool you.
Dick Clark will be selling that every New Year's Eve.
Breast ale.
Ma'am, I want to party with you.
That's right. No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
When you work at a radio station and you push that button down on the phone, you just never know what's coming back at you. All right, how you doing, kids? Friday, June 17th, 2022, 147 days remaining in our American democratic system of government, as we have known. On how you doing, kids? You are at jconline.com. If you saw this thing yesterday, you're probably scratching your head, and I have lawyers who are friends of mine who are also scratching their heads because they don't get it either. So the big headline yesterday was, well, let me back up. So this goes back a couple of years, and Franco Pinion, who used to do the afternoon show on KTRS, one of those AM stations, okay? So a guy that he had worked with apparently goes into rehab. Not exactly sure if he was drinking or his alcohol or something else. I don't know. But by the way, this guy had worked for Frank for something like 19 years. So somewhere along the line, he loses control of the situation, has to go into rehab, and Frank starts talking about it on the air. The only problem was, I guess he didn't, at least according to the lawsuit that ended up getting filed by the employee, he said, yeah, I went into rehab, but that was not something that we had ever talked about discussing on the air, and it was an invasion of my privacy, and it has hurt me financially. And then he left the radio station, the lawsuit, like 5 years elapses in this situation. And yesterday they make the announcement that the employee ends up with $2 million. Jury says, yeah, give him $2 million. The only part that has everybody scratching their heads is that I guess maybe a year or so ago, Frank Opinion himself was dismissed from being a defendant in the case. I'm like, well, it's not just me. Everybody's like, well, wait a minute. He said it. How does he get excused from this? And when the $2 million judgment was announced yesterday, not one little silver dime comes out of Frank's pocket. So I texted him. I said, I want your lawyer. I want your lawyer. How the hell? You were the one who said it. How the hell did you get excused from the lawsuit? And all he said was 5 years of legal bills, but it was totally worth it. I don't know. I didn't get any more details from Frank on the whole thing. But somebody's got, but you know, I got friends who are lawyers and they're looking at this going, we don't get it. We don't get it. Just sort of a weird case. For those of you who listened to this bright and early when we posted just a little bit after 7 o'clock, the severe thunderstorms and everything, that is moving out. And it actually looks like it's going to be a great weekend in St. Louis until Monday when it gets into the hundreds again. The other day, I posted this picture. It just sort of came up randomly. I was looking through some stuff, and I was like, oh, look at this. And it was a picture of Vanna White, and she was doing some modeling before she became famous. She was still living in South Carolina, just trying to get a modeling career going, and, you know, just in outstanding shape, just looked great, you know. And her hair is very, very long in this picture, and she is sort of squatted down in front of a refrigerator, reaching in, and she's looking towards the camera. And she is wearing very little in terms of clothing. There's nothing showing, really, but it's a very erotic picture. She got a bra on, and then she's got stockings with a garter belt around her waist, and it does not appear that she is wearing any underwear, and then she's wearing black and red pumps, and she looks like $1 million in small, unmarked bills. And while it is not, you know, it's not pornographic or anything, it's just very, and I just put the caption there saying, Vanna in her naughty days. It's a great picture. And by the way, the answer is yes, she does look that good in person, because there's a lot of people who photograph well, but then you see them in person, and it's like, wow. You don't look anything like your picture. You do a lot with hair and makeup and lighting. Not to mention, you know, in a lot of cases too, plastic surgery. But one woman just like went ballistic on me for posting this. And here's the thing. I can tell you the story now because she's retiring and I have talked to her. This was maybe 3-4 years ago. I actually conversed with Randy Naughton at Fox 2 because I was like, I'm going to put this picture up. And she's like, oh. You know, I used to think that the picture was going to hurt my journalism career in television, but now, shit, put it up. I want everybody to know just how good I looked at one time. And Randy looks fine. Now, she looks like any other 60-year-old woman who has taken care of herself. She looks good. But, you know, we're talking she's 21 years old, living in Buffalo, New York, and working at the Playboy Club, and there she is in the little Playboy bunny outfit. And like I said, she tried to suppress it for a long time. Certainly wasn't doing anything to draw attention to the picture, but I guess it was out there. So a lot of women, when they sort of reach you know, an advancing age, they're like, oh, God, put the picture up. I looked fantastic when I was 21. I want everybody to see it. And my guess is that that would be Vanna White's reaction, too, because Vanna's in her 60s now. And this picture looks like she's maybe in her early 20s, looking great. But one woman just, like, you know, took my head off and then said, I'm unfollowing you. Like, all right. But you might be more upset about it than the actual person in the picture. Now let's talk moving pictures. Saw the Elvis movie last night. There's an embargo on our ability to speak about
the movie until next week because it opens a week from today. So I'll write up the review and have that for you sometime next week. I will tell you this. It is 2 hours and 39 minutes long. And for me personally, I can tell you it felt like it. Doesn't mean the movie's good or bad. Not really even allowed to tell you that right now, but we'll talk about it next week. But I'm telling you right now, 2 hours and 39 minutes, I felt it. Two seasons ago, the Golden State Warriors had the worst record in the league. Another one of those worst to first stories, sort of like the Rams back about 20 years ago. Stanley Cup. Again, we talked about this a couple of days ago. I know a lot of people stopped watching hockey when the Blues were eliminated. But boy, this Tampa-Colorado series is going to be great. Game two tonight with the Avalanche up one game to none. Everybody remember Michael Wacha pitched for the Cardinals for a number of years. He's on the mound tonight against Adam Wainwright. They have very similar pitching styles. You know, if you sort of blink, you can almost conflate the two of them. Michael Wacha was a protege of Adam Wainwright for a number of years there. Wainwright going for win number six. Michael Wacha is 4-1. And, you know, John and I did the trip to Fenway a couple of years back. And I'd been to Boston a couple of times before, John had not, but I'd never been to Fenway. And they actually treated us very well. We had press passes and everything, so we were able to walk around on the field. And then we were, you know, out in the left field area, and the door was open, sort of just right underneath the green monster there, and nobody was stopping us, so we walked through it. And the next thing you know, we were inside the scoreboard. Now, let's just put it this way. Nobody had done a upgrading to the inside of the scoreboard. It looked like it was 1917. And I, you know, my take on it was, first of all, I was really glad I went, really enjoyed the trip. Would I want that to be my everyday ballpark? Absolutely not. You know, at least at Wrigley, which is the second oldest ballpark in Major League Baseball, they've done so much upgrading of the ballpark. And so you don't really feel like they built it over 100 years ago and then said, take it or leave it. You know, Wrigley, so many upgrades, so many updates. But at Fenway, it's sort of like, hey, it's a baseball field. Go fuck yourself if you don't like it. And you know, some of the seats, some of the good seats, you know, the ones right behind the dugout, you know, the field boxes, they're the original seats. And they're about, they at least they feel like they're about 12 inches wide. And you're sitting there going, well, you know, in 1917, yeah, people were smaller. My grandfather's ass could fit into this seat, but I'm going to need a crowbar to get out of it after the game. Again, there's a certain charm to the idea that, hey, we built this ballpark over 100 years ago, and it is sort of like entering a time capsule or something. And again, if you're visiting, that's great. Because you're like, wow, this is really a piece of history here. But would I want that to be the ballpark that I go to every day? Absolutely not. Forget it. Food wasn't even any good either. We got it good in St. Louis. We have it very, very good in St. Louis. Want to get a plug in for JC's Roots of Rock Sunday show. And again, I talked to the boss yesterday at the radio station, and I think we're like a week away from being able to get on the big transmitter that's going to be in St. Louis County. Right now, as we've talked about, this radio station, K-Wolf, has been broadcasting for a number of years now out in the Westplex at 101.7, and hopefully in about a week, we're going to be flipping on a simulcast to that station, but it's going to be in St. Louis at 101.5. And if you go to 101.5 right now and you don't get anything, that's good, because there's nothing there yet. We haven't turned it on yet. All right, there's some parts that they're still gathering and putting together, and then they have to test it, and then they can flip it on, and then we can start broadcasting. So hopefully, by this time next week, we should either be on the air or very, very close to it at 101.5, Rockin' Americana. You're going to love this radio station. And Katie Crew is going to be on it. I'm going to be on it. And like I said, for right now, we're still only on the Westplex signal at 101.7. But we also broadcast on the internet, obviously. We're streaming at k-wolf.com, k-wulf.com. And you can stream. And JC's Roots of Rock Sunday show, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet, pops up there from 9 to 11 every Sunday morning. And it's a really, really good show. Let me just take a look here. Well, first of all, it's our Father's Day theme. So we got a bunch of Father's Day songs. Get to play Dear Dad
by Chuck Berry. Our JC Celebrity A-List interview of the week is with Don Henley. You get a Dave Clark 5 song in there. You get a Paul Revere and the Raiders song, but also the Tarney Spencer Band, some Alice Cooper, some Three Dog Night. Abba was a Rolling Stone. A little Motown, a little Beatles, a good time. JC's Roots of Rock Sunday show is on 101.7 FM, Sunday morning from 9 to 11, brought to you by Weber Chevrolet. Thank you, Skip. Did I mention the big heat returning again on Monday? I think I did, yeah. We got a lot of people without power this morning, too, because of the storms that went through. I don't know what to tell you that hasn't already been said and analyzed and rehashed over and over again about the January 6th hearings, but the shit's getting real. I can tell you that. If you're Donald Trump, you cannot be feeling very good about things right now. And as we said yesterday, when your own people, a lot of them, and not fringe people, we're talking about people who are right there in the Oval Office, on a regular basis, when all of them say, yeah, he made the whole thing up. We told him it was illegal. He did it anyhow. You're the guy they're talking about. That's not good. I'm getting really, really tired of these post-trial interviews with Amber Heard. I guess just anybody around who says, I don't know, maybe a quick ratings grab or something, gets a television interview with her. Now some of the jurors are starting to talk. Now it's getting interesting. A juror, let's see, spoke anonymously yesterday about how Amber's crocodile tears staring at the jury and facial expressions weren't believable. He also said her story didn't add up and the majority of the jury saw her as the aggressor. By now, I'm sure you've seen the Tom Hanks video. He was leaving some sort of a restaurant or something the other night. There's just a bunch of autograph seekers and paparazzi and everything like that. Just started crowding them a little too much as they were trying to get to their car, and one of them almost knocked Rita Wilson over, and Tom Hanks just turned around and said, this is my wife, back the fuck off. By the way, everybody did. Not to hit anybody, you know, you don't have to destroy any piece of equipment or camera or anything like that. The normally affable Tom Hanks, you know, you can push people too far. If you are a conservative and you've been hearing all the chatter on the internet about how Tim Allen was replaced in this movie Lightyear that they're making, the whole Toy Story thing, it wasn't because of Tim Allen's politics. They said because they needed a version of Buzz that was dumber and goofier, so they brought in Chris Evans to do it. You still won't get a lot of people to believe that. Back to the politics again. This CNN series they've been running on Watergate has been just fantastic. And again, I was in college when all that came down in the early 1970s. I remember every single moment of it, all the names of all of the people. I could have made the documentary myself, but on CBS tonight, 8 o'clock, Watergate, High Crimes in the White House, a documentary on the Watergate scandal, the 50th anniversary of the break-in. So another one to watch, but the CNN one is excellent. If you missed it, get it on demand. Talking about the Elvis movie, and I don't know how many more Elvis movies or how many Marilyn Monroe movies are still coming. You'd think that the only two famous entertainers we ever had in this country were Elvis and Marilyn Monroe. I will say this, you got this Ana de Armas. For a couple of years now, there's been a video of her getting out of a bubble bath topless that has just stopped red-blooded American men in their tracks. She looks amazing. Well, now she's playing Marilyn Monroe. This is the NC-17 Netflix version of the movie, and this one is called Blonde. Right now, just the teaser, but I know the movie is to be up there on the old Netflix here very, very soon. Jennifer Hudson, this is an enormously talented woman. She's done, you know, she was in Dreamgirls and she's done other acting and singing, but it's almost like her talent is so overwhelming, Hollywood's not even exactly sure what to do with her. Well, the Jennifer Hudson show is going to premiere on September 12th, so she's going to try that, do a talk show. This is the 28th anniversary, 1994, the O.J. Simpson car chase. Now, I was in a tuxedo and I was emceeing this thing for cystic fibrosis at the Ritz-Carlton, one of the big ballrooms. Sometimes when you're asked to do these things, you don't really have a lot to do. You know, you come out at the beginning and you welcome everybody and they give you a bunch of stuff to read Then the event sort of rolls on, and the people from the charitable organization end up doing a lot of the work. And then maybe you come back after a break, and then you come back at the end. So some of these speaking engagements or things where you're asked to MC, frankly, you don't really have a lot to do, which was good that night because as this whole thing was unfolding, yeah, you got to remember, this is 1994. I kept running out of the ballroom and down the hall to this little bar they have sort of in the hallway at the Ritz-Carlton just outside the ballrooms. Tiny little bar, and up in the corner, he had like a 12-inch TV. Every 10 or 15 minutes, I come running out of the place going, all right, what's happening? What's happening? The bartender was telling me. I wish I remember the guy's name. He was awfully nice to me that night. After they grab OJ and they throw him in jail, Bob Costas is sitting there going, well, I got to go see him. I sat on the set with him on NBC for years. It's going to look really, really bad if I at least don't go and visit him. So Bob Costas goes into the jail to see him. I guess what you do in those situations, you put your hand on the glass, and then OJ put his hand on the glass, and that's how you, so you, that's how you greet somebody when he was in prison. And OJ's true story, OJ notices Bob Costas has a little Band-Aid on his finger because he had cut himself. OJ sees it, and he says to Costas, oh, maybe you did it. Like I said, true story.
Let me get to my house.
Okay, we're going
to
do that.
I swear to you, I'll give you what I'll give you me. I'll give you my whole body.
Okay.
I just need to get to my house.
Okay.
We're
going to do that. Just throw the gun out the window.
I can't do that.
We're not going to bother you. We're going to let you go up there. Just throw it out the window. Please, you're scaring everybody. OJ, you there?
This is for me. This is not to keep you guys away from me.
I know that. Nobody's going to hurt you.
This is for me.
Okay, it's for you. I know that, but do it for you.
This is for me, for me.
I know that. I know that, but do it for the kids, too, will you?
No.
Think of your kids.
No.
Please, just toss it out. You're scaring everybody, man.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
I know you're not going to hurt anybody.
I need it for me.
I know you're not, man.
I'm just going to go with me.
Please, you're scaring everybody, though. You're scared.
Just tell them I'm all sorry. You can tell them later on today and tomorrow that I was sorry and that I'm sorry that I did this to the police department.
Listen, I think you should tell them yourself.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want to have to tell your kids that. Your kids need you.
I've already said goodbye to my kids.
Listen, no, we're not going to say goodbye to your kids. You're going to see them again.
Uh-huh.
You want to see them again. Please, you're scaring us. You're scaring them. Please, man.
Hey, you've been a good guy, too, man. Let
Thanks,
you, I know you're doing your job. You went
I appreciate
honest with me
that.
Right from the beginning. I'm just saying you're doing your job.
Listen.
I know you do a good job.
Okay, thank you. But there's a lot of people that love you. Don't throw it all away. Don't throw it all away.
I can't take this.
Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
I can't.
You got your whole family out here.
I can't.
They love you, man. Don't throw this away. Don't do this. They love you. Don't do it, OJ. It's going to work itself out. It's going to work. It's going to work. You're listening to me. I know you. And you're thinking about your kids right now, aren't you? Aren't you? They're thinking about you. They're thinking about you. So is your mother. Your mother loves you. Everybody loves you. Don't do this. I know you're thinking.
Oh.
Man. Just throw it out the window. And nobody's going to get hurt.
I'm the only one that deserves.
No, you don't deserve
I'm gonna
that.
Get hurt.
You do not deserve to get hurt. You do not deserve to get hurt. Don't do this.
All I did was love Nicole. All I did was love her.
I understand.
I love everybody. I tried to show everybody my whole life that I love everybody.
We know that. And everybody loves you. Especially your family, your mother, your kids, all of your friends, AC. Everybody does. Don't do this. Just put it down or throw it out the window. And this will all go away. It's going to be a lot better tomorrow, believe me. Please. We'll let you go up to the house, but we need you to throw that out the window.
Yeah.
We'll let you go up there, but we need you to throw the gun out the window. Please.
You see, I'll take it from me when I get home.
What? If you throw it out the window, they're not going to have to do that. Okay? Hello? OJ, you still there? Yeah, Jay, it's Tom again. Hey, hang it up, huh? Hey, it's going to be better tomorrow. Get rid of the gun. Toss it, please. Too many people love you, man. Don't give it all up. Don't hurt everybody. You're gonna hurt everybody.
I'm just gonna leave.
No,
don't. Go in the cold. That's all I'm gonna do. That's all I'm trying to do.
Think about everybody else, all right?
I couldn't do it on a freeway. I couldn't do it in a field. I want to do it at a grave. I want to do it at my house.
You're not gonna do anything. Too many people love you. Your kids, your mother, your friends, AC, everybody. You got the whole world. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away, man. Come on. OJ? Hello? Lost him again. OJ, it's Tom again. How you doing?
You just tell them at my house. I know they're all over the place with guns.
They're not going to do
it. Let them know I'm not coming there to hurt any of them.
Okay, they know that, and they don't want to hurt you. You going to go to the house?
That's why I told you we weren't. But you know, you just let them all know. You let the police know. You let them all know. I wasn't running.
I know you weren't running. I know you weren't running.
I was trying to go to Nicole's grave.
I know you weren't running. I know you weren't, man, but you got everybody scared.
Yeah.
You got us all scared with a gun, man.
And I'm sorry I made the police look bad by showing up.
Hey, we don't care. That's not a problem. You know what the important thing is here? Is that you don't hurt everybody and break their hearts.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
You're going to break somebody's heart is what you're going to do.
If I hurt somebody, I'm not going to hurt
anybody. And I'm talking your mother and I'm talking your kids. Don't do this. Just toss it, man. Come on.
You've been around me even the few days you've been around me, and you know I'm not going to hurt
anybody.
I know you.
That's where you're right. I do know. And you're better than that. You're not going
to
do this.
You sure sounds innocent to me, huh? God.
Hard to believe that was almost 30 years ago. All right, birthdays today. Venus Williams, 42. Will Forte. He is MacGruber, 52. Jason Patrick. He was in The Lost Boys. He was in Speed 2, Cruise Control. The most interesting thing he was ever in, of course, was Julia Roberts. Good morning, everybody. Greg Kinnear, 59. Thomas Hayden Church, 62. Mark Lynn Baker, Cousin Larry at Perfect Strangers, 68. Joe Piscopo, 71. Barry Manilow, 79. Newt Gingrich, 79. Saturday birthdays, Blake Shelton, 46. Isabella Rossellini, 70. Carol Kane, oh my gosh, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, Latka's wife Simca on Taxi. She was in The Princess Bride, 70 years old. Paul McCartney, 80 years old on Saturday. Sunday birthdays, Paul Dano, the Riddler in Batman, pretty good one too, 38. Mia Sara, Ferris's girlfriend, Sloane in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, 55. Paula Abdul, 60. Kathleen Turner, what the hell ever happened to her? 68. Ann Wilson of Heart, our sweetie, is 72. Felicia Rashad, 74. Salman Rushdie, the Ayatollah put out a hit on him, 75. And Mo Howard was born on this date in 1897. We lost him in 75. All right, Father's Day coming up on Sunday. There's about 1.5 billion fathers worldwide and more than 70 million dads in the United States alone. In the 1920s and 30s, there was a movement to combine Mother's Day and Father's Day into Unified Parents' Day. It failed, obviously. Father's Day officially made a U.S. holiday in 1972 when President Nixon set aside the third Sunday in June for dads. Father's Day, the fourth largest holiday for greeting cards behind Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, and Christmas. Americans expected to spend more than $20 billion on Father's Day gifts this year, but that still pales in comparison to Mother's Day when $31.7 billion on gifts for mom take place every year. In a new Father's Day survey, 45% of people say they think it's harder to be a father today than ever before. 16% think it's easier today. 47% of dads say they believe they're doing a better job than their father did. When dads were asked about the worst Father's Day gifts they ever received, 22% said it was when they got nothing. 10% said a traditional tie, 5% socks, macaroni art, a bad letter, a pet rock, a fish plaque, a plunger, Pokemon cards, and a taxidermed alligator head. I'd rather get nothing, which is what I'll probably get, by the way. Speaking of dads, Joe Buck's dad, Jack, died 20 years ago tomorrow in 2002. One of my favorite stories has to do with what happened on this date back in 1990. I was in Los Angeles doing interviews for a movie called The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. Andrew Dice Clay's movie, and Gilbert Gottfried was in the movie. And so they set up interviews for that. Now, as I described yesterday, the way these things work is you fly into Los Angeles on a Friday. They show you the movie with a bunch of critics from all over the country on Friday night. Have a little party, a little cocktail thing. They pay for dinner, the whole thing. And then on Saturday morning, you get up and you get your sheet and they tell you, okay, you're doing this interview at this time. And then you take those interviews and fly back home and you put those interviews on television. Well, it just so happened that I was the very first interview with Gilbert Gottfried on that Saturday morning for The Adventures of Ford Fairlane. So I walk into the interview room. There's Gilbert sitting there. We do the interview. There's lots of screaming and howling because that's how he talks. And the interview was over, and I was sort of taking my microphone off and gathering up my tapes. And I thanks, Gilbert. And I go walking down the hall towards the hospitality suite. And you sort of feel the presence of somebody behind you, and it was Gilbert, who should have still been in that chair to do the rest of the interviews all day. But he says to me, "You know who I talked to about getting a cab?" He said, "Gilbert, you got to go back down the hall there. You're going to be doing interviews. You got like 40 interviews to do today. I was just the first one. You're going to be here until like 5 o'clock this evening." He thought he was there to do one interview, and I had to break the news to him. And like you needed anything else to worry about, there's now a mustard shortage in Quebec, Canada. And where do you go after a story like that? You just simply say, "Have a great weekend, everybody, and happy Father's Day."
Today, Father is Father's Day.
I got all choked up and I threw down my gun. Called him a paw and he called me a son.
Oh, that son of mine.
He's not your son, Fred.
According to our mother, you're our father. That's good enough for us.
Age 7 to 15, I thought my father was a psychologist. Because he'd look at me and say, "Are you crazy?"
Papa was a rolling stone.
I married your mother because I wanted children. Imagine my disappointment when you arrived.
Come to Papa.
My old man, he worked in a bank that caught him stealing pens.
Come see your Papa.
Oh, Daddy, you know you make me cry.
Daddy, you're a fool.
My old man, on Halloween, he told me to put jockey shorts on my head and go as an ass.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
I'm gonna be like you, Dad.
Father's voices.
Father of night, father of day, father who taketh the darkness away.
My pappy said, "Son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln."
Right on, daddy, oh, mommy, oh, soul brothers.
His father works some days for 14 hours. Oh, you're a neat old daddy, but you're out of
sight. Podcast.